All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Jordi, Messi, Jordi, el Santo Messi!
Messi Uncle, breaking Major League en la ciudad del sol. Here in Miami, we know who's el campeón. Leo my team, yeah. Suarez on the field, I was wedding day team. Con mis fechas un win, the trio five singing muchachos. La familia se escucha en los barrios. Esta camiseta pinky la llevan todos los guachos. Los rookies quedan sin comentarios. Messi ambetea, tiki-taki gol. El estadio Chase bañado en dolor y sudor. Aquí se ama y se respeta el balón. Florida es tu casa, acostúmbrate al calor. Estate listo pa' Messi Anco. Estate listo pa' Messi Anco.
All right, hello and welcome to another episode of Messi & Co. I'm Ashley here, as always, with my incredible co-hosts, Gian and Matt. Midweek, happy Wednesday, how we feeling? We're recording this later than expected because shout out to Champions League this week. Another amazing game of Real Madrid versus Atletico Madrid went to penalties. We were all watching and delaying our recording and yeah, crazy.
Absolute heartbreak. I could not believe my eyes.
Yeah, well, I'm pissed, man. I'm pissed.
I'm sad. I'm just sad.
Look, I'm a Barca fan, so obviously I go against Real Madrid no matter what. And just the fact that that penalty against Julian, that Julian Alvarez took, was negated because of the double touch rule. When I've watched hundreds and hundreds of penalties in my life, I've never seen that called. And it doesn't matter what angle they showed, there was no conclusive evidence of that ball being touched twice. Mm-hmm. And leave it to Real Madrid to win with controversy. It's always happens like that. Arsenal continued, went on too, so that was cool. Barcelona yesterday won as well. So
Lamine Yamal, wow.
Lamine Yamal is the top three player in the world for me. I think he is amazing. Pedri, the best midfielder in the world, in my opinion, as well. And it's crazy to think the team Liverpool that qualified as the number one seed and is ripping it in Premier League is out with PSG beating them. So that's, I think,
also on pens, right? That was also,
yeah.
Also, I was watching that game yesterday. But you know what? After last week, like when I was watching last week, I was surprised. But then I was like, PSG's going to win. Like they just for some reason had this good game plan. But yeah, we should do an episode about the Champions League because it has been really, and also I remember when they were deciding like the knockout stages and it was like decision day and they were all having the matches. Good Champions League this year. Exciting stuff. But anyways, we're not here to talk about the Champions League. We're here to talk about Inter Miami, as by the title of the show, Messi and Co. On Five Reasons Football. So since we last spoke, Inter Miami have had another match, and that was Sunday, where they won 1-0 versus Charlotte in what was a very, very difficult battle. One lone goal obviously went down to 10 men, a difficult match with a lot of storylines that we'll get into. Tadeo Allende continuing his incredible streak of goals, great goals at that. Luis Suarez continuing his streak of a lot of involvement and creating chances. Yeah, Inter Miami get a very important result at home. How are we feeling about the match overall?
Sorry, I had to burp live before I spoke. No, it's feeling good, man. I mean, like, we're still undefeated, and honestly, that's all I could really be excited about. I mean, we're putting up good performances, even with 10 men, getting 3 points against Charlotte. It's a pretty solid team, I guess, like, overall. I mean, like, I thought they were pretty well structured, and I thought we did well to adapt to the situation, adapt to pretty much everything that was going against us. With the red card, with a bunch of the fouls and the yellows and et cetera. We had a lot of our players, especially the younger guys like Bright, Allen, Tadeo, they all really, really showed up. And it's like, and it's just absolutely amazing what this team could do, especially just without Messi. It's honestly amazing. And that's all I could really be happy about. But yeah, no, Ustari, he deserved that red, but it ended up working out. So it ended up working out, and so I can't even be mad about it, to be honest.
I thought it was a really interesting win for us. You know, Inter Miami continues to win. They continue to be unbeaten, and Mascherano continues to do what he's been doing. I don't know how many of you are surprised with Mascherano so far. I think that this was to me. Sorry, I'm over here trying to talk and trying to produce as well. So sometimes I mess up. But look, to go down 10 men early on in the game and to be able to still have control of the game, still have the poise and the grit to get through it, and for Mascherano to make some tough decisions as well with the substitutions that he had to make. And look, at the end of the day, they got the one goal with Tadeo Allende, minute 46, that really settled the game for Inter Miami and allowed Mascherano to really go deep into his bag and be able to, you know, park the bus. And I know that parking the bus sometimes is not the best way to play. It's kind of ugly from a fan perspective. And anytime I see a team park the bus, especially with more than half an hour to play, I get scared, right? It's like, okay, we're really going to be on the receiving end of a barrage of attacks. And there were many times where, man, it looked like, it felt like it was coming. Like that goal from Charlotte was coming.
Yeah.
But that just shows that Mascherano has a lot of confidence in this defense. I think confidence that a lot of us probably didn't have in this defense last season. So to go 30 minutes down a man and have the bus parked and come out with a 1-0 win and hold down the fort, I think that was great. That's great news for Inter Miami. Again, we know we have no problem scoring. Yeah. Defense was an issue. It looks like with Maxi there, Maxi obviously didn't play, but you know, with Lujan there and Noah Allen taking a step up from last season, these guys in the defense, it really stepped up, and that makes me really happy and confident that this team can look even better than 2024.
Yeah, well, maybe 2025, but yeah, I do agree with that.
Wait, what?
It's 2025.
No, he said that it looked better than in 2024.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Never mind.
Okay, no, dude, I'm like, what?
I thought you said in 2024, like how they are. Oh, sorry. Yeah. It's one of those days for me. So that's not my fault. I agree, honestly, with everything everyone said. I think there's something to be said that, you know, does this Inter Miami team have a discipline issue? Because although the Ian Frey one was rescinded, so it really shouldn't even be part of the conversation, I will say that's 3 red cards that were given to Inter Miami, you know, in 3 matches. And that is worrying because, you know, 3 MLS matches, 3 red cards, it's showing that the team does have a little bit of a discipline issue. And although it hasn't bit us yet, right? Like, we've been able to kind of get out of it unscathed. It's important that this team, for knowing how many tournaments we have, how many big games we're having, everyone's gotta step up, have discipline, and not be a reason to bring this team down, because this team has high aspirations and so far has been finding ways to win in every format. I was able to ask Mascherano in the press conference, you know, how is this team finding ways to win in all of these different difficult conditions? And, you know, the main word he said was resilience. This team is resilient. They're hardworking. They believe in each other. They're, you know, keeping shape, keeping form, and showing a lot of maturity. So overall, a good performance. Within that performance, I do want to ask new segment that I'm starting. We'll see how long it lasts. Success versus struggle. Who on Inter Miami succeeded a lot and who maybe struggled, you know, our version of best and worst for that match. And Dion, I'll start with you. Who was your success and who was your struggle?
I think that for me, I'll start with the struggle for me, Kremaski. Just, and it's not just this game. I think just Kremaski hasn't looked well overall. I think every game so far in 2025, that may be harsh. Maybe some don't agree with me, but I think just what I saw from him last season and some of the sparks that he was able to, you know, give this team, especially sometimes where he was starting, I just think he looked better. That also may be, actually, you and I had this conversation and you suggested that may be the positioning also and him playing in a different position. It looks like as of late, he's playing more like on a right wing type of position, whereas most before he was more of an interior player, more of helping in the build-up and the creation. I just think that he in that position maybe doesn't look the best, and obviously he's had to play there maybe out of necessity. I think that, you know, he's a guy that's done well and people, he's caught the attention, obviously getting time with the U.S. men's national team and going to the trainings and the camp. So obviously, he does have the talent. We've seen it before. I just don't like this version of him. And I think for him and his career, he's kind of got to get out of this funk. A lot of imprecise, not like the precision hasn't been there. I think out of everything I can say, the precision with the passes just hasn't been what we're used to. As far as the the success, man, I think Tadeo is the easy one. But
you can say it.
Tadeo Allende, like Tadeo has been like la está rompiendo. He's doing amazing. He's that guy. Like, okay, you have Suarez, but and Suarez was always like the main guy that, like, you know, he's going to be the one to score for you. But Tadeo Allende, man, his ability to really make the runs, to be able to control the ball, to be able to associate himself so well with Suarez. That's just insane. Like that goal that he had with Suarez, where he heals the ball back to Suarez and Suarez knows and to kind of chip it over to him. And Allende has the IQ to make the run perfectly, stops the ball, scores. Like, I think that was just the epitome of what Tadeo Allende really brings to this team. The scoring, the IQ, the speed, knowing where to make the runs and really making that formidable alliance with Suarez, where before it was just Messi and Suarez. Now you have Messi, Suarez, and you're adding Tadeo Allende to it. This team just got that much more dangerous, and it's really exciting. This guy, I mean, with the amount of games that there are in the season, who knows? He may be the top goal scorer over Suarez. Like, it's crazy. Maybe.
Yeah, if Suarez keeps feeding him, I feel like it could probably get to that level. I never – this could just be me. Before, when he first joined, I didn't think he was going to be like, I thought it was either going to be Suarez or Tadeo, or, and I'm like, maybe he'll be on the wing, but I didn't think he was going to be like the goal creator, the goal scorer that he is being now. But it is very impressive what he has been able to do on the field as paired.
That's
with
on Mascherano.
It's like,
Matt, yes. That's how much Mascherano. Yeah. He's giving them the ability to be flexible and just like float around. Like,
yeah. Yeah, no, and props to him. And it's really, really paid off because he's been phenomenal. I won't touch on it too much because you've already spoke about it, about the struggles with Kremaski. I agree with you. And I love Kremaski. I think he has a lot of talent. He's a young kid. He has so much potential and to take this league by storm, to take the U.S. men's national team by storm in the future. And what he's been doing this season has just been like subpar. And I do want to give him the benefit of the doubt because of the fact that he's playing in a new position. He's not accustomed to playing in this right mid, right wing type of role. Like you said, he's an interior player. He plays center mid, maybe an attacking mid, defender, whatever. So I do want to give him that benefit of the doubt. He still needs to adapt to this position maybe. So if we can give him more time throughout the season, he'll probably look a lot better. And, you know, now that because he's literally the only other option. Now we have Baltasar who's going to be coming in, so maybe that'll give him a lot of help there. But if Karmasi wants to play and Mascherano sees him playing in this right mid spot, he's going to have to step it up, especially now that we're going to have Baltasar joining in. Once Fafa returns, he's going to try to take that spot as well, et cetera, et cetera. So hoping the best for Karmasi. For the success, it's honestly very, very difficult because there are so many players that have really, really stepped up that they were including. But I want to move away from the forwards and really, really give Bright the flowers that he Bright has made his mark on this team. He made it last year from a draft pick. This is a kid coming from college. We know that he has some European experience. He's played in Italy and whatnot, but this guy is literally a draft pick, 23 years old. He has zero expectations. Nobody knew who he was. Like, no, he had zero expectations coming into this team. Nobody even knew he would play a single minute. And last year when he took the field, everybody loved him. And this year, I think he's reestablished himself, or he should reestablish himself as a starter on this team, because the performance that he had against Charlotte is unbelievable. He was everywhere. He was locking players down like it was nobody's business. And it's just, you don't get that with our other, like, you don't get that with Redondo. I'm sorry. I like Redondo, but you don't get that with Redondo. And being paired with, and okay, let me say this. I think Bright, I don't know if this is a hot take. I think Bright, genuinely speaking, I think he's probably the best center defensive midfielder, like the best holding midfielder in the league right now, just based on what, like, and this is not talking, this is like, obviously we have Busquets, but Busquets is not a holding midfielder. I'm talking about a whole, like a proper CDM, like a proper CDM. This is it's Yannick Bright. He has been phenomenal for us, and he needs to be starting on this team alongside Busi, and then
agreed.
Then that's cool. I don't know. I don't know if that's a hot take, but yeah,
he's like Dixon Arroyo 2.0,
kind of. Actually,
people like 20.0, but yeah.
I saw some people like online, like in chats and in YouTube or on X, and saying that they would compare him with Gattuso. And I'm okay. I'll see. I mean, I'll take it. I'll take a little mini Gattuso. So, but no, like he's been phenomenal. And I've only said it's been difficult because Ian Frey deserves his flowers as well. Like Ian Frey, literally, he's just, he plays out of this world.
You are not playing the game correctly.
Huh? I'm sorry. I get too excited. I'm sorry. No, I'm done. I go.
No,
I thought that was interesting about Redondo. He said Kremaski. He went with the same one, I think.
I said Kremaski.
Okay. Yeah. Really quickly, I mean, like Aldrich said, I totally agree. I mean, we talked about Yannick Bright so much. I'm taking credit for this. Last February, preseason, when Newell's Old Boys came to play Inter Miami in that preseason classic match, I said, wow, Yannick Bright was really good. And that was preseason last year when he had just been drafted. And man, has he lived up. He is phenomenal. I agree. I think the best three midfield starting right now is Segovia, Busquets, and Bright. I think Bright and Redondo will probably have a decent amount of rotation with each other because of just the amount of matches. But it's a great shout out. Ian Frey also is a great shout out. Obviously, I'm biased because I got to ask questions and spoke to him, but he's actually not going to be my success player, even though he has been the successful, and man, the adversity he continues to overcome and just show his talent, shout out to him. But my success is Javier Mascherano. Talked about it a little bit earlier. Do you remember Gian, the word I said is what I want to use to hopefully describe him for the season?
I don't. What was it?
Mature. I said mature. The best way I could describe what I want to see out of him is for him to be mature, knowing that he's playing with a lot of big names, difficult situations, etc. Does he have the maturity to lead this team, to be flexible, to get everyone's buy-in? And man, only a few matches into the season, he has been tested in every which way. And so far, he's passing and he's being just a really great coach. And so, you know what? Early on, I really think he deserves the credit because he is already, I think, exceeding expectations just to start with. You know, obviously there's a long season to be played, but he's, you know, he's showing up in difficult situations. And, you know, I think that was sometimes our gripe with Tata last season. And, you know, although he's a great coach, like sometimes we felt that he didn't match the moment or adjust for what was being thrown at the team. And so far, I think Mascherano has been doing that in every which way. So, yeah.
I'll agree with that 100%. And I said, I think last episode or the one before that, I wasn't ready to say so much about Mascherano because I was one of the ones that doubted him because of the, I think I hadn't really seen him go up against a formidable opponent so far this season. He hasn't had to go against, you know, the toughest opponents yet. So I'm like, okay, it's too early. But what I will say is, despite maybe the opponents not being the best so far, like the situations, like what you said, the way he's handled the situations that he's been put in, to me, has shown what you said, maturity. And it's surprising me. And it's really good to see. And it's a great positive because sometimes the beginning of the seasons are the easiest. And then you go and you hit, you know, difficulty later on. Like, he's already so early on in the season, still getting to know his players, still figuring this team out. And he's already been able to handle situations like the one against Charlotte, where he's got to play more than an entire half with a man down, get the team to still be competitive enough to score the goal, because you're already man down. He gets the team to score a goal, and then he's able to maintain that. Man, like, maturity 100%, Ash. He did great.
Yeah. No, I agree. 1,000%. I can't add anything else because you guys said it all. I do want to see, though, I do want to see Mascherano. Like, he's been doing great. I do want to see, like, what you said, mid-season Mascherano and, like, end of season Mascherano. Because that's going to be the real, real true test to his coaching abilities and his, you know, to anything. So,
yeah, when you start playing teams like Columbus and you start playing, you know, like Cincinnati and you play like tougher teams, let's see what
it is. And once the games actually start to matter a little bit more, it's going to be
right further in the Champions Cup.
Yeah.
And we'll see. Time will be the only way to know with him, obviously, based on how it goes. But for today, he gets my success. My struggle, you know, I thought overall everyone had a pretty good individual performance and was there when they needed to be. So my struggle player is going to be Ustari. You know, bad discipline, whether you think it was a red card or not, if it was even close, should not be putting himself in that position. He's 38 years old, has been around the block a few times, should know much better than that. And, you know, Drake Callender, who's back from injury, hopefully, or, you know, they're saying is probably going to play Sunday. Ustari really was doing everything to show that he deserved to keep the position and not give it back to Drake, and had every opportunity to do so. And then, you know, he puts himself now in a situation where he's suspended and Drake can easily get his spot back. And so, tough to see.
Yeah, I mean, Ustari, I was little by little being convinced that he was the guy to start over a Callender, even when Callender would make it back. And, you know, we'll have to see. You guys, we were talking about it before too. Like, this may be the opportunity that Drake gets to, if he was somehow maybe losing his spot, like, this is the opportunity to maybe get back in if he gets healthy. But to me, Ustari, I think, is still a bit better than Callender.
I agree.
Yeah, we'll see. It was just, unfortunate to see. Someone who's not going to be a success or struggle because he did not play, Lionel Messi. That's now three matches in a row that he's missed. After what we all saw, I remember in the match, he's like, oh, he came out. Is he okay? You know, like, they're like, you just deserve rest. Inter Miami were winning by enough aggregate that he could get rotated out, but as we learned, that really wasn't the case. Felt some tightness. Is he injured? Is he not injured? Was he going to play Sunday? And just because of the 90 minutes, it didn't, or the not down to 10 players, it didn't happen. Was the plan always to rest him for the first leg of the Jamaica? I mean, all these things we'll never really know the answer to, but all we know right now is that he hasn't played in three matches, and it's a little worrying. Are we worried?
I'm not worried. Are you guys worried?
You're not worried?
I'm not worried.
I'm worried, but I'll let you go, man. I'm worried.
Yeah, Matt, tell us why you're not worried.
I want you to tell us why you're not worried to see if it kind of, like, you know, settles me down, gives me some
peace.
Let me calm you guys down. Let me relax. Let me calm the nerves a little bit. I'm not worried because it's like, well, first of all, look at the run that we've been on. We've been doing great without him, first of all. But second, it's mainly because, I mean, he's gonna play against Cavalier, right? Like, he's only gonna be playing. We knew this was coming. I knew this was coming. He's only gonna be playing in the matches that actually matters. So it's like, if he takes three games of rest, let him take three games of rest. Like, he's gonna be like, all right, we'll play against Cavalier. Like, we need to win tomorrow against Cavalier, or we need to secure that 2-0 advantage. So I'm not worried that Messi's missing three games. Let him miss a whole another week. I'm not worried. We play just as good with Messi, without Messi, than with Messi. And as long as we keep doing what we're doing and playing our game, I have full backing of our team, whether Messi's in it or not. So
okay, but hold on. So you're not worried about the team, but are you worried about Messi?
No, he's not. No? I'm not. No, because he's not. Because okay. You're talking about, if we're talking about like him getting injured again and whatnot, sure, maybe a little bit. But like at the end of the day, if he does go down, I know it's not going to be as serious as it maybe it was previously, because we're taking so much precaution with him. And mm-hmm. I think that if he does get injured or something, then it's not going to be anything like too crazy. I'm not worried about it because he
did nothing to ease my fears, Gian.
No, this is not. No,
I know. Dude, I wish guys, I
we just need
him.
To. We
I,
just I really need to. We need more positive thinking here, guys. Well, we shouldn't be thinking about Messi getting injured. We can't be doing.
You know, honestly, we honestly were having this conversation at the match, mm-hmm. and I felt similarly to you, Matt. Maybe not to your degree, where I'm that, you know, but
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to leave up holiday decorations year-round. Others have the need to use their garage as practice space for their new metal band. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
At Ritual, we know what goes into the holiday season. The potluck planning, the gift giving, the spreadsheets. So this new year, take a moment for yourself with science-backed support that puts you first. So whether you're focusing on supporting foundational health with a clean vegan multivitamin or supporting your gut health with Symbiotic Plus, do it with 30% off your first month at ritual.com/podcast. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
I think... the timing of it. I honestly think if he was truly injured and it was really something scary, I don't think he would train at all. Even the 15 minutes, it's just not who he is. Like, that's just not, I just don't think I think Inter Miami are being extremely cautious. And I think he is being extremely cautious more than he's ever been in his career, where I think even as soon as last year, he would have definitely played in one of the second or third match. He definitely would have played. He would have been like, I'm fine. I'm playing. Trust me. I think this season, if it was the exact same feeling or tightness as last season, I think he would have played last season. This season, he's saying, I'm not. I'm putting my health and longevity a little bit first. And do I think it's time to sound the alarm? No, because I think he will be back. I don't think he's someone who's going to just fake being on the bench and fake like doing warm-ups for a long period of time. Like, maybe the Inter Miami will use it a match or two here or there, but he's not the kind of person to do that. He just isn't. And so if he feels good enough where he could be doing even the 15 minutes of training or whatever it is and running and doing things as normal and he's on the bench, I just don't think it's sound alarm time. I think it could be if we see this trend happening more and more, but first few matches of the season, knowing he played a full preseason, knowing he just played in 9-degree weather, knowing he has Argentina next week, all those things putting it together, I'm gonna say circumstantial, but only time will tell.
I'll take it.
Is it crazy that I read this tweet today that said the NBA has fined the Utah Jazz $100,000 for violations of the player participation policy? And the first thing I thought of was Inter Miami. And what if MLS had a player participation policy? Like,
oh yeah.
I was just thinking
we'd be
about
broke.
That.
we'd be broke.
We'd be in the negative. We'd be owing Apple money. So look, I have so many thoughts about this. And I remember this past game against Charlotte, we were in the press box. I was talking with Ashley, and Ashley was like, chill. Like, I was very animate because, okay, Messi has missed 3 games in a row, but Messi shows up to practice. Why is Messi practicing if he's not injured, but he's also not playing? I don't understand how that works, because we were told that he had una sobrecarga, meaning that he was just having he was being overworked. He felt
sore muscle. Yeah,
it all comes from him. He's the one that communicates and says, "This is how I'm feeling. I don't want to do this." He said that he felt like he was overworked. So if you're overworked, but then you practice and there's a game, okay, like maybe you missed one game. I'm like, all right, whatever. He was overworked. They're saying it's not an injury. Then after you missed that MLS game, which was, I'm looking here, which was against, against Houston. Like, oh, whatever. It's Houston. It's the beginning of the season. You know, okay, he was feeling overworked. He practiced, but okay, whatever. He's going to miss a game. Let's just make sure we don't overwork him. He doesn't, you know, get to... Then he goes to Champions Cup. That's an important game. I don't care who it's against. It's the Champions Cup. It's against a team that you're playing at home. You always want to make sure you take care of the game at home. You don't want to have to, you know, go maybe lose or tie the game and then go to Jamaica and then have to try to win the game back. Like, okay, we ended up winning 2-0, but at the end of the day, that was an important game. He misses 2 games. And we saw him at practice. So how long does it take to recover from being overworked so early on in the season? I don't think that's right. So is it overworked or is it an injury? Okay, here goes. Game 3, Charlotte. He comes in as he's a sub, and he doesn't get a minute of playing time. Okay, Mascherano said that at the end of the day that the plan was to give him some minutes, but because of the way that the game transpired, because of being down 10 men, it changed the strategy. Okay, but in the fullness of context, it's 3 games in a row that he hasn't played. I don't think this is just him being careful. I think that's something more. And I think, for me, there's some type of injury. It may not be something serious, but I don't think you sit out 3 games at the beginning of the season. And I know we've talked about it. These games at the beginning aren't, you know, worth that much because it's a long MLS season, but it was a Champions Cup season. And guys, who are we most worried about coming into at Inter Miami because of his health? Do you remember? Luis Suarez. The guy with the screwed up knees that needs to take a shot every morning in the ass, that needs to take a ginger shot in the morning to make sure he plays. The guy that looks like I've said it many times, the guy that looks like Mr. Potato Head, like his legs are going to fall off any second, has more minutes than Messi. Like, what parallel universe are we living in? It's like Back to the Future, and I woke up and when Biff is like the owner of the hotel, or like what is going on? It's an alternate universe. So to me, there's something deeper here. It's not just, you know, it's that. And I'll end with this. At the end of the day, this is a business. We've talked about it many times as well. Messi is seen like entertainment for fans. We've got people that don't even care about Inter Miami that want to come and watch the games. Look, I would rather Inter Miami be transparent and say Messi will be out 2 weeks. Messi will be out 3 weeks. And I feel like they don't, because they want people to still buy tickets to the games. But what is the problem with that? The problem with that is it's actually hurting them instead of helping them, because these people that only came to see Messi are never going to come back again, because they don't know if he's going to play. They're not going to pay $150, $200. These are people that can only afford maybe to go to one game a season. And they see the reports, they see the pictures and the videos of Messi training. Oh, he's training, he's gonna play. And then they spend the money. It costs like $300 or $400 for a family of 2 or 3. Are they gonna come back? I think at the end of the day, they're losing people. if they were more transparent, I think they would do a better job from a business perspective. And I think the fans deserve a little more. So there's so many angles about with this, but I'm genuinely am concerned. Not from the team. The team is doing great without him. We're better with him, obviously. But Messi, I don't know, man. What's going on, Messi? Like, I think there's something deeper.
Yeah. I mean,
that was deep.
I think it's like two separate things that are happening. I think one is, for sure, the game he came out in the 60th minute, he's like, I felt something. It's an injury. I think that, and Inter Miami just didn't tell the truth on that. Or they reframed it. I think that it was an injury, but probably only a 2 to 3 week injury. Because I think, you know, probably he's going to play tomorrow. I mean, I guess we really don't know anymore, but I think he will play tomorrow. And he's going to play for Argentina. So it was a 2 to 3 week injury. It feels longer, I think, because we thought it wasn't an injury at first and we were given conflicting information. I think he was never going to go to the Houston game. I think he was going to play in the Champions Cup game, but the injury was a little too much where I think him, one, recovering from it, and two, they are being extraordinarily careful, knowing that if we make it to the MLS Cup, we have 9 months left of the season. The MLS Cup is December, right? The first week of December is the championship game, and we're in March. So everyone knows it's a very long season. Don't want what happened last season to happen now, where he is out for too much of a chunk. They figure out how to play differently, and then he comes back, and the team doesn't have enough time to really gel or figure out what is their best 11, and it bit them, right? I think the Inter Miami want to extremely avoid that this season. I do think he would have played on Sunday if it wasn't for the 10 men. I think it worked to the advantage of Inter Miami and to Messi that he got to have a little bit of rest because they were never going to put him in to run, you know, and take up all that extra space now. So,
what if he doesn't play in Jamaica? I think they're officially ding ding. I'm sounding the alarm if he doesn't play.
The alarm is if he doesn't play for Argentina. That is how I know.
Okay. Well, here's the thing with Argentina. Obviously, Argentina is going to play against Uruguay March 21st and then March 25th against Brazil, which, by the way, sick games. But is it a slap in the face for Inter Miami if he doesn't play tomorrow as well and then or misses four games and then goes and plays both games? Or am I just a little crazy? Because I know I'm going to get slapped for saying this because there are – I love Messi as much as the next Messi fan. I've grown up watching him as a Barcelona fan. Like, I have his jerseys, anything. But one of the things that we hear on social media is he doesn't owe us anything. He already, you know, he already won it all. I think at the end of the day, he does. Whether it's, if he's on this team, he owes something to the team. And I think that if he's healthy, and I'm not going to speak ill of him because I don't think I agree with you. Actually, I don't think he's one to not, you know, to pretend he's as big a competitor as we know. He wants to be on the field. He wants to win. He wants to be there for his teammates. But I think the optics, let's go with that route. The optics would look bad if he misses four games, if he misses tomorrow, and then he plays for Argentina. I think that the optics wouldn't look good with that.
Matt?
It's a lot to take in. No, I agree with you. No. I agree with you because as someone who's Argentinian, I watch all the Argentinian games. I'm looking forward to seeing Messi play against especially our biggest rivals, Uruguay and Brazil. But I think he's going to play tomorrow against Jamaica. If he doesn't play tomorrow against Jamaica in Jamaica, then that is a humongous slap in the face to Inter Miami because that means. Because now it's like, well, we don't know how long you were healthy because you were like, oh, okay, you were able to train. You were able to play this game, but you didn't. So
yeah.
I 1,000% agree with you on that end. And there's just like, there's so much really to go into that I feel like we could be here for another hour. But I think at the end of the day, I don't think he owes us anything. Messi doesn't owe us anything. I mean, as a player on this team, if you're healthy and you can play, you better play. That's, I think, is what he owes us. If he's healthy and he can play, then he should be able to play. But
yeah, well, that's what I mean when I say that. That's what I'm saying.
Then, yeah. You know what I mean? If we're talking about Sunday, he shouldn't. I agree that he shouldn't have played because we didn't need Messi to play. We needed to, or it, according to Mascherano and his strategy, he wanted to play defensive the whole time. That's fine. That's your strategy. That's how you want to deal with it. That's how you want to deal with it. But if it's like, I don't know, if Messi's ready and if Messi's able to play and he's training and he feels good, then we need to play him. I think regardless if the game is important or not, at least play him like a 45 minutes. And, yeah. But like I said, I'm just going to stick to what.
Yeah.
I don't know. But like you said, I think it would be time to sound the alarm if he doesn't play tomorrow and that he plays for the national team. And then if he comes right back and then he doesn't play when he comes back, like imagine after the international break, he'll come back and then he won't play. That's another red flag.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know what I'm saying? So
agreed. I think it's right now, honestly, it's very much on the cusp. I think genuinely a lot of this is very circumstantial and timing wise, knowing especially that he's about to play Uruguay and Brazil in World Cup qualifiers. There's never a doubt he was going to do that. And if in his mind and even the team strategy is that's my priority, I will play in the games after for Inter Miami. And that's something they all decided. Do I agree with it? No. But I don't want to say I understand it, but like, this isn't like you're playing, you know, like I'm going to pick two bats, like Venezuela and Haiti, like not to be like a terrible person, but like, that's not the word. This is Uruguay and Brazil. This was always circled on the calendar as very important. I think circumstance for Houston and for Sunday affected it. I think I'm not going to sound the alarm yet, depending on if he plays tomorrow. If he plays and the World Cup qualifiers, I think will influence my decision. Right now, like I said, I think it's very much on the cusp where I see both sides. I can see how it looks bad. You know, the team isn't being truthful. He's okay, but you know, like they're not being completely honest, or he's not okay. I could also see it on the side where just because of when the injury happened, when Argentina is about to happen, what matches have happened, it really affected the thing and what they didn't expect, and their game plan changed. I think tomorrow will be a big indicator. What we did, though, today, practice, right? I mean, Messi, once again, practiced as normal, as reported, and traveled today to Jamaica. So, yeah, no big thing notices from practice, but obviously the most notable is that he played. So we'll have to see. But anything else out of practice that, you know, is notable, you think?
No, I don't even think Messi practicing is notable. Honestly, right? I don't even think him traveling is notable. What's notable is when they release the lineup, and that's what's notable. So we'll see. All kidding aside, I'm glad he's practicing because that does show that he, you know, he hasn't gotten worse or anything like that. So it's always good to see. Always good to see Messi practice. I think we were talking about it before that. What's his name was Chelo? I think didn't practice. I don't know if
Robert Taylor
didn't practice, and then Callender. We saw him on the field as well. So I think that was good too. So we'll see how his health is. Supposedly he had been cleared by the team a while ago, a couple of weeks ago, to medically clear to play, but he was still feeling discomfort and he had been seeing a specialist. So that's the reason why he's not playing. I think it's more on his end, but the team basically saw him and was like, yeah, you're ready to go. So hopefully with another practice under his belt, we'll see if maybe he's the guy, if he's healthy enough to start for us against Cavaliers. So. But other than that, I think not too much out of this practice came out.
Yeah. I'll just really quickly say, you know, I think the positive is that, you know, from this side of the fence, like obviously Messi, whatever happened, it did not get worse. And he is healing as normal. And as you know, his energy is getting up as normal. That's the good thing. I think what makes it so skewed and what makes it seem worse is just how it started, right? Like they should have just said he was injured and he will be day-to-day. They just said he was completely not injured. If they said that at first, I think we'd all feel differently. and we'd all be like, okay, you know, at 2 weeks back to healing, start being able to practice, they're ready to put him in in-game situation. But it's like I said, circumstantial, and they just didn't start on the right foot with it.
Agreed. Yeah, same thing we spent quite some time on talking about is what is the truth. I don't know if we'll ever find out, just really, but as long as we want to, I just want to see him on the field. That's what's most important to me. See him on the field, balling out, enjoying seeing him play. It's always been something great to see. And this team is, no matter how good they look without him, they're 10 times better with him. So that's what I'm hoping.
No, you're right.
All right, Matt. So then with that in mind, knowing that he traveled, knowing that he was available, just in general, what is your prediction for tomorrow night's match?
Tomorrow, I mean, I think tomorrow should be, it's going to be an event. It's going to be a lot of fun. If Messi's obviously traveling, if he plays and everybody's going to be really happy about it, apparently everyone's going to be really, like, security is going to be super tight. I've been reading a lot of things about how the stadium and things. Like, oh, that's another thing, by the way. They moved to a completely, like, a 35,000 seat arena. Yeah. Just for Messi. So if Messi doesn't go play tomorrow, that's going to cause a lot of problems. And a whole ton of problems. But anyway.
Like what happened in Asia. I forgot what country.
Yeah, I think I think that's going to factor into tomorrow.
But this is going to be worse because they literally moved to a different stadium, to a bigger stadium for Messi. So it's like,
yeah.
So this is going to be a lot. It's going to be bad if he doesn't play.
And apparently the stadium, I was reading, like, the conditions of the field aren't the best too. Yes. So look, do you want Messi playing on a field that doesn't have the best conditions? Like, that is funny.
I literally saw like a drone image of the field. It's pretty bad. So, I mean, and so that factors into it too. So it's like, I think we're just going to do the best that we can to not drop this lead, to not drop this 2-0 lead. And we're going to do the best we can to not get injured. I think it's the most important thing, especially like we take all these other things into consideration with the conditions of the field, with player availability, with Messi. I'd play Messi for a half and then take him out, but I think we should be doing well. I don't know. We should be rotating maybe a little bit because we do have that a game on Sunday. And, I don't know, but considering the fact that our last game against Cavalier wasn't really the best performance, like on the pitch wise, I don't know if you guys like, and like it just wasn't the best performance. It kind of has me second guessing on how we could be playing over there, like in their home turf. So it's interesting to see, but I still have confidence in this team that we're gonna get the win regardless. And do you want me to do a score prediction, or just for the game itself, I think that we should end up winning. I think we should end up winning 2-1.
2-1. I think.
Yeah.
I think this game's probably going to go the same as it went here in Miami. I think that Inter Miami is going to keep control of the ball, like just like they did last game, 69% to 31. The majority of the time, it's going to be Inter Miami holding it, and it's going to be Cavalier probably just trying to counter with their speed. I think that many times it was like, I was like nervous. Those guys are fast up front for Cavalier. The only thing is they were not really good at shooting. So I think that Cavalier is going to have to really get better at that and be more accurate. They had 5 shots on goal. One was on target. So the only 20% of the shots were on target. I think that if they would have been a bit more accurate, they probably would have gone at least a goal because, man, the only thing here is obviously they're down, so it's going to be a different. Even if they wanted to play a possession game, they're not going to be able to just because Inter Miami is going to be dominant and hold the possession. So they only have the counter. They just might be more aggressive, I think, in pressuring the ball and trying to hurt Miami in the buildup. So as soon as, like, when they're building out of the back, I think you're going to see 3 or 4 guys from Cavalier FC pressuring, and then they're probably going to be pressuring a lot on Busquets and Redondo, or Busquets and whoever else plays in the midfield. I think that that's going to be something we'll see, a lot of pressure up front, and really playing really quick. So I think that the guys that are in our defense, when you're talking about the guys like Jordi Alba and Ian Frey, I think their hands are going to be pretty full trying to make sure that they're controlling that counterattack. For me, I think Inter Miami is going to win. I think they'll be more conservative knowing that they're going in there with a 2-0 lead. So I don't think we're going to see, you know, a full out attack, just maybe a more, I wouldn't say timid, but just, yeah, a more controlled team. So I'm going to go with a 1-0 win. Probably a 1-0 win, even though I could see Cavalier getting one. Sometimes that happens with Inter Miami when they go in very like confident and they go in knowing that they've got an advantage. Sometimes it can be a really quick lapse of like judgment within the first 10-15 minutes. We've seen that. Remember last season when we had like two or three games where we were getting scored on like in the first like 5
first
minutes?
Yeah.
So that this Inter Miami team can sometimes lend itself to that, but we'll see with this new iteration if they fall into that. But I wouldn't be surprised if Cavalier gets, you know, one goal because they are so fast. But I'm going to go with 1-0 on this one, and Inter Miami obviously win.
Yeah, I think you guys covered most of it. I will say I think it's going to be a little bit more like high octane match because, I think the environment and just like, you know, the idea for Inter Miami to like, I think like try and wrap it up honestly and get players, you know, be able to rotate. I think it's going to be 3-2 in Miami.
3-2.
Yeah. A lot of goals.
That'd be a really good game.
But yeah, like I think Inter Miami are going to establish like enough of an advantage, but then I just think, you know, the wheels are going to come off. It'll be a fun match. And I think Messi will play. We'll see where we are in a few days, right? If we're saying the same thing, I think it's right now so hard to tell, but I really do think if he travels and he keeps practicing, like, I just don't see him as the person who's going to, like, sit out all these matches healthy. It just doesn't seem like him. So I think we will see some minutes tomorrow. I really don't think he would have traveled to practice if he genuinely couldn't.
Yeah.
If you had to put a percentage on it, both of you, on that he's going to play, what would you say?
65%
chance?
What about he's going to play? 65%?
Yeah.
I thought it was higher. I'm telling you, if there will be so many problems if he does not play tomorrow, like
I don't know.
Be upset. Like in high people in high positions will be very
maybe
upset.
80%.
I was gonna go for 80, like 5.
Yeah.
I'm born 90, so yeah. I'm almost certain that he's going to play
I'm the one who's being conservative.
Yeah. No, but I'm saying, because I agree with what Matt says. I think there's, if he doesn't play,
a lot of repercussions.
I think it hits the fan because of everything that's happened and the whole thing moving the stadium to have more people come in and he doesn't play. And then the injury, now the questions are going to come. That press room, after the is going to be like, what the hell is going on with this guy? Four games in a row. So if he's healthy, he's 100% playing. There's no way he's gonna sit down if he's not. If he's healthy, rather.
In the end, I agree. But we'll wait and see. It'll be a really great match. Lots to talk about. Very exciting. Busy week behind us. Busy week ahead. And then obviously we have technically the international break, but you know, we'll see some different personnel playing. Yeah, it's still a great time to be an Inter Miami fan. It's still really fun. This season is already giving us probably more than we expected, and it's been less than a month in. So make sure you are following us on X at Messi and Co to get all of the latest news, our thoughts. Who knows, maybe we'll even be doing more streams. We always want to know what you guys think. And then subscribe on YouTube, 5 Reasons Football, so you get to be the first one to know about all of these episodes. When we go live, being able to interact with us, it's what makes the show so fun. And yeah, we're excited. So for this episode of Messi & Co, I'm Ashley, that is Gian, that is Matt, and we will see you next time.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, Geico helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with Geico.
At Ritual, we know what goes into the holiday season. The potluck planning, the gift giving, the spreadsheets. So this new year, take a moment for yourself with science-backed support that puts you first. So whether you're focusing on supporting foundational health with a clean vegan multivitamin or supporting your gut health with Symbiotic Plus, do it with 30% off your first month at ritual.com/podcast. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.